Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for S-R-T Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the S-R-T Studios, overlooking Atlantic Station, and it is that time. It is Wednesday. It is here. We are here. SRT crew, Sports Roundtable, in the building after a big, big weekend. Monday was big. This past weekend was big. All football, as football in college, has come to an end. And we are crowning the orange and white. Some would say purple. They have purple in their colors, too.
Yeah.
But the orange and white. The Clemson Tigers dethrone the Alabama Crimson Tide. Congratulations to the Clemson Tigers for doing that. Second title in 3 years. Wow. So some would say, have they made it to the mountaintop?
This is as close to a college football dynasty as you can get.
Yeah.
Alabama is already in the midst of theirs.
Right.
So now Clemson is starting theirs now.
Starting theirs now. We're going to talk about that. If you want to join the show, 404-603-8770. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And, of course, back from his PTO. He's probably more happy that Chandler Parsons is not no longer a part of the Grizzly than he is about this football weekend. Yeah, Jay Smooth is in the building.
Yo, we need some hand claps for that, man.
I know, right?
That's
pretty bad.
Yeah, that's great news for me, everybody in Memphis. But, you know, thank you, G. We appreciate that. Glad Chandler Parsons is gone. But, you know, back to, you know, the topic at hand. Congrats to Clemson. They did an amazing job Monday night. I'm sure we'll get into it in a second, but you know, glad to be back personally, and you know, we get into it.
Get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of sad things coming out of Alabama. Jalen Hurts enters into the transfer portal, but we'll get into that and all that as well. So just hang in there, man. My main man behind the glass is, of course, the glue who holds it together, the stir. This stirs the drink, G Money. What up, G?
Yo.
My man.
I had to put myself on camera before I said it.
There you go. And of course, Hancock is stuck in traffic. He said he'll be here. Hopefully in time where he can talk about Dak Prescott.
Yeah. His favorite player.
His favorite player, yeah. That he keeps saying go get $20-some million. But they're not going to pay him 30, but they'll pay him 20. I mean, hey, it is what it is. Hey, man, we got some hot news, of course. We're going to talk about that Bama-Clemson game. And one question is, how good is Trevor Lawrence, a.k.a. Sunshine? How good is he? And we're going to talk about that. And did Saban actually get out coached? Really haven't really seen a Bama team just get debacled like they did, and some coaching decisions were kind of questionable. So definitely talk about that. Our roundtable discussion, we go definitely preview this weekend in the NFL and playoffs, and it was some great games. And to all my Chicago Bears fan, stay tuned. I know y'all out there.
Yeah, they hurt.
Got plenty of them at work. And, well, some didn't even come to work Monday.
Yeah.
You know.
It was a rough loss.
Can't blame the kicker, though.
Yeah. And it's sad because they've seen it. They've lost that way before this season. So
it was changed to a block. Okay. So it's not actually on him.
Right.
It's not on him.
Yeah.
It got blocked.
Yeah.
Is there a way we can verify that it got blocked?
I saw the story that the NFL officially changed it to a block.
Oh, okay. Taking their press off of man, huh?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be there next year, though. No.
Yeah. No. He led the league and missed field goals. My goodness. I mean, why was he even in the playoffs? I mean, he had hit the upright 5 times for the season.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought he was going to hit the upright and go through.
4 in one game. He missed 4 field goals in one game against Detroit.
But they won that game, so they weren't too worried. Maybe they should have been.
Exactly. Bo Bell will be in 8 o'clock. Bo Bell will be joining us to talk a little NBA. And boy, I have a question for him off the rip before we even talk about NBA. So he's a feet work guy. This is what he prided himself off of. So definitely got to talk to him about something before we really get into it. But before we move into some hot news, I really have an announcement to make. I really don't want to let the cat out the bag, but just say that SRT and your boy have been making moves out there for all of our listeners to watch sports. That's all I can say.
There you go.
I mean, that's about as close to the edge without making it a two-pointer than a three-pointer.
Right. It's a good teaser.
Good teaser. So for all of the SRT listeners, the tenants, we're doing you some justice. And I went to bat for you guys to try to make sure that this happens. And I think you'll be proud of your boy. So y'all stay tuned for that, because there's some giveaways and things of that nature that's coming up that will benefit you in the future. When I say it's time to watch TV, it's time to watch TV. So with that being said, G, go ahead and jump into some of this hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
He's on fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot News sponsored by Big Easy Grill, the number one seafood place, in my opinion, in Georgia. It is what it is.
Yeah.
The best shrimp in town, 1193 Cardi Road. You don't believe me, please GPS the address. Go over there, get you a shrimp basket, and holler at your boy. Let me know how you feel about that. Big Easy Grill, 1193 Cardi Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Official sponsor. Shout out to all the people on Facebook Live. I see you, Marley. I already know you gonna say something about them Colts. But gotta get to this Alabama Clemson game. Smooth, I'm going to start with you. Your thoughts on the game. What did you see? What didn't you see? And how did you really just sum this thing up?
Well, like I said earlier, congrats to Clemson. And first off, I do want to mention that back in the summer, this past summer, July of 2018 to be exact, Brent Venables was made the highest paid assistant coach in college football.
Mm-hmm.
And on Monday night, Clemson, they got their money's worth. I'm not sure how much Dabo had to do with the game plan. I'm sure he probably did, but Brent Venables and Clemson's defense, they did an amazing job.
Mm.
They held Alabama to 16 points.
Mm.
Scheme-wise, they confused Tua. They threw some things at him that he hadn't seen before, you know, which forced him into some mistakes.
Right.
That he admitted himself were on him. But for the most part, defensively, I love what Clemson did. Alabama, they just looked disinterested. To be honest, they played, you know, sort of a brand of inspired football. And I don't know if you could say that Clemson exposed them.
I can.
But, you know, it really appears that way. Like I said, Brent Venables did a great job. And, you know, Isaiah Simmons, the safety, the sophomore safety.
Right.
I think he's about 6'3", led Clemson with 9 tackles. The kid seemed to be everywhere on the field. You know, offensively, I'll let you know, Eugene Hancock get into it. But I was so impressed with what Clemson did defensively. And we thought the schedule would hurt them. We thought it would catch up because, you know, the ACC is the lesser of the two conferences.
What was it? 4 points against – 2 points against Texas A&M they beat.
Yeah.
4 points against Syracuse, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I think, G, we thought that Syracuse game would probably be that one. If they would slip up at the end of the season, that probably would have been that one.
Yeah.
And they survived those.
Yeah.
So let's think about it like this. They beat Texas A&M by two,
mm-hmm.
beat Syracuse by four, and beat Alabama by 28.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that sums it up.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always, yeah, there's always this saying that, you know, teams, they tend to play better against certain teams. And Alabama, they're, you know, they're their arch rival now. And I think it's great for college football. You know, people don't want to see Alabama win every year, and they got exactly what they wish for. So, you know, congrats to Clemson. I'm excited for them. And, you know, the next 2 or 3 years, they should be really exciting.
All right, so I'm going to point out some things real quick. G, I'm going to let you go after this. Offensive line play.
Yep.
Three pressures in the first half. That's it. Trevor Lawrence had all day to throw. Run game. They got ETN on the outside. They had some creative ways of getting him the ball. Run game was very, very important. And to your point, Brent Venables. Defensive-wise, they were aggressive. They was forcing Alabama to adjust to them the whole night. So it was offensive line, protect. Run game, let's make sure that we get some yards on the ground. And Brent Venables, be aggressive as you can against this Alabama defense. To me, those were three key things that I took from this game that made it look like a lopsided win because Alabama didn't even score in the second half.
Nope.
So, G, I'm going to get your thoughts real quick.
I only watched the second half, but I saw some stuff of what happened in the first half. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, you can see a little bit of that as well. One drive that kind of summed the whole thing up for me was in the, I believe it was late in the third or early in the fourth. Clemson's already up by 20. There was no scoring in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And Alabama drove down to inside the five. And you would think, okay, maybe Alabama might try to make some kind of run,
right,
but Clemson would not let up. They would not let them score. And on the fourth down, it's Tua trying to roll out to the left, and he had no chance.
No chance.
So it looked like throughout the whole game, Clemson just played faster. They played a lot faster, especially defensively. And offensively, Lawrence went out and made plays for them. And that's what he would have to do for them to have a chance to win. And I think it came down to Clemson playing faster. We always hear about SEC speed. But Clemson has kind of built their team like an SEC team.
Yeah.
And that's why they have gotten to this point, where I said before, they're in the midst of their dynasty right now.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One thing I did see also, and we normally don't see this with Alabama, they only converted 4 of 13 third down tries. And they actually went for it on fourth down 6 times. So, you know, it just speaks to Alabama's inability to they moved it within the 20s. But once they got inside the red zone, Clemson, they were there.
Yeah.
Every time they stopped them. So, you know, the whole thing with Jalen Hurts, you know, we'll probably talk about that in a second. But I was surprised to see him, well, Nick Saban put him in the game so late. That was a shock to me.
Right.
And as a whole, Nick Saban's lack of adjustments. This is a guy who normally has his team prepared to play, you know, week in and week out.
Right.
And they just didn't seem that way on Monday night. I'm not sure what it was. You know, they retired from last week. I don't know what it was, but they just didn't show up on Monday night.
They didn't show up. So my question would be, how good is Trevor Lawrence? And I already got Marty on Facebook saying that he might be as good as Brady going into the league. He's Brady-like, or let's see, Yeah, say he's Brady-like. So how good is Trevor Lawrence as a freshman? He's 19.
Yeah. As a freshman, he's really good. I mean, he's 6'5", 200 pounds, as, you know, prototypical NFL-like quarterback size.
6'6".
Yeah. He projects well to the next level. He can make pretty much every throw that you want. He seems poised, and I think that's what you want from your quarterback. You want a guy who's willing to stand in the pocket and make those tough throws. And not only that, he's willing to take the ball, well, put the ball in his pocket and run with it. Mm-hmm. He's not scared to make those plays. He almost got hurt. It was earlier this season. I think that was, I forget who that was against.
Yeah. He has a very big arm.
He does.
Those of you guys who are from Georgia, we've been hearing about Sunshine since the ninth grade.
Yeah.
In Cartersville. He's broken all of Deshaun Watson's records.
Yep.
Sometimes you gotta kind of have to prove it to us,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know how Dabo came into Georgia and got this kid out of Georgia.
Yeah.
With the train rolling for UGA.
Yeah.
Hard to see how Trevor Lawrence got out of the state of Georgia.
Oh, Dabo is the last, what, maybe 6 to 7 years, Dabo has put on a masterclass in recruiting. I mean, he even got the number one receiver, Justin Ross, out of Alabama.
Out of Alabama.
And look what that kid did. I mean, we hadn't even mentioned him, but I mean, it's...
Well, you mentioned him now. One hand catches.
Yeah, he made some play. I mean, he looks like, you know, a young Odell Beckham.
Man.
I mean, the Clemson's future looks really bright.
ETN is a sophomore as well.
I mean, it's it's almost scary how good they can be. And I think I was watching an interview with Dabo and Nick. It was a, you know, a co-interview.
Right.
And they both said that their respective teams would be better next year. And I don't know about Alabama yet. We'll have to get D-Will on the phone. But with Clemson, I believe. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Ross.
Well, Clemson is already 7-4 favorites to win it next year.
Wow. Isn't Trevor Lawrence the favorite to win the Heisman the next couple years?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, you got me.
It's going to be him, and we'll probably hear about Justin Herbert. But Trevor Lawrence is the name we know right now because we just saw that performance.
Wow.
Well, Z, how good is Trevor Lawrence?
I think he's the kind of quarterback that we've been looking for, that like star quarterback who actually we don't have a whole lot of questions about. To where like, oh, is he big enough? Does he have a strong enough arm? Like, it looks like he checks all the boxes. He's not just looking the part. He's playing the part, too.
Right.
So we're going to hear about him a lot for the next 2 years. I don't know if he's going to break a lot of NCAA records, but he's going to give Clemson a chance to win every single game for the next 2 years at least.
Now, because we know how the NFL, what they say, the NFL prototype looks, he's already 6'6". And you know how the NFL drools over the sizes of the quarterback, right? So that's one thing that you're going to hear. You're going to hear about his big arm and things of that nature. He missed some couple of throws, but it wasn't many.
Yeah, they all missed
those. He's a freshman
quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't can't expect a finished product
exactly.
when he's right. 19.
Exactly. I totally agree. Did Nick Saban get out coach?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
sports superhero here for this one, boy. I know he can't wait for that one, but go ahead, Smooth.
Yeah, and the things that have sort of been Nick Saban's hallmark the last throughout his entire run at Alabama and even at LSU, the sort of discipline that Alabama plays with, you know, the attention to detail, that's what's always separated them from the rest of the pack. Even when, you know, they might not have had they've always had the best talent, but in some cases, like last night, it looked like they might not have had the best talent. But even if they didn't have best talent, which there weren't many instances where they did not, they were at least well prepared.
Right.
You could expect, you know, a Bill Belichick level type of coaching and, you know, the effort he would get out of those guys. If there was any, you know, example of the do your job motto, it, you know, that would carry on at Alabama. So they just didn't look prepared.
They didn't look
prepared. I mean, it's really as simple as that. They didn't look prepared. The effort was poor. It was, you know, it was piss poor. Just being honest, you know, I'm really disappointed. I expected a better game, but we just didn't get it. And it could be that Clemson is just that good.
All right, G. Out coach.
That's one of those terms I really don't believe in.
Right, right.
Because, like, okay, how could he have coached better? Like, when it's happening.
Yeah.
But I think there was some... We always look at Saban, because he's from the Belichick coaching tree, how they know a team's tendencies. They're going to take away what you do best. And other coaches, we don't pay attention too much to them doing that too, to those teams, to exactly. Saban's teams or Belichick's teams, taking away from what they do best. And I think that they played each other. This is the fourth year in a row they've played each other. And they don't have all the same kind of players. Well, Clemson has had Hunter Renfrow. Maybe he knew all the tendencies because he's played in all four of those games.
Right.
But I think Clemson just knew what Alabama was going to do. Like they were better prepared. I will give them that. But I don't think it's an out-coach thing.
Okay.
I just think it was better preparation on Clemson's end. And they kind of put them in spots to where they knew what Alabama was going to do. I mean, they probably figured, okay, they're going to do a fake field goal here or fake punt, or they're going to go for it. And they like to run this play. So they picked up on those tendencies faster than Alabama could make adjustments.
All right, Han, you hear what's going on? You on?
Yeah, am I on?
Yeah.
What's up, Atlanta?
What's going on, bro? Everything
what's
good?
Up, crew?
What's happening, bro?
What's good?
So
that traffic?
Boy. Yeah.
Well, they already
talking about building a wall. They need to build some kind of bridge.
Well, Marla already said what's up to you. He already,
what up, cuz?
He already talked about Chicago. We're going to get to that. But you've probably already heard, we talked about the Bama game. How good is Lawrence? And there's no mistake about it. We're talking about now, did Nick Saban get out coached, or as G said, out prepared? And just kind of want to get your thoughts on that real quick.
I'm not sure he got out coached. I think he got out man. This was the first time I'd seen in a while where Alabama's team was not the best football team on the field. And it showed everywhere you could look. Even at the quarterback position, it turned out to be that Lawrence outplayed Tua. And, you know, before I get into all of that, this year and the end of last year with the title game, all we heard was Tua being the man, being the best, being this new generation, probably the best college quarterback, best college prospect.
Right.
So after two games, now all that's out the window? I don't understand. I mean, the same thing I'm hearing about Lawrence. Oh, he's all this and all that. I heard about Tua.
Right.
So I just pumped the brakes. I mean, this is the same guy that got knocked out in the game that Clemson almost got beat in. And we can talk about what they did. They almost weren't here. If it wasn't for a four-quarter drive that they were down on, and they were led back by a freshman kid from Grayson High School, who's a freshman at Clemson now. Chase Bryce threw it. I think it was a 4th-and-14 or 4th-and-something in passing that final drive.
Right.
That is the reason that Clemson's in the championship game. So college football is so fickle that it can change on a dime. All this narrative. Clemson was blown out by Alabama last year. So in one year that Clemson comes back and blows out Alabama, the dynasty is dead? Man, let's be real. Alabama's going to reload. He's going to get some defensive ends because he didn't have any in this game. He had the interior lineman, but he had no way to get pressure on the edges at Clemson. And Clemson beat him up.
Yeah.
Clemson's team, top to bottom, I think the wide receivers were comparable. To me, the quarterback was probably a wash. But the overall athleticism of the defense, that's where it was. You could see it in Clemson. Clemson just physically dominated them, let's not say, probably 20 and in. Because 20-20, Bama moved the ball like it was nothing. They ran all over them until they got in the red zone. And I thought they got too cute a couple of times instead of lining up and trying to run the ball in.
They ran an isolated fake punt. A fake field goal.
Now, that thing right there, I have That's when I knew the game was over. I'm going to be honest with you. With the fake field goal, I said to myself right then, mark it down, ball game. Because that's not Nick Saban.
That ain't Nick Saban.
If you're going to line up and go for it, you're going to take a guy who was a perennial Heisman Trophy candidate, the best player on the field, and even in show during the game. They lined up in the Wildcat how many times?
A lot.
So you took the ball out of Tua's hands, who's athletic enough to scramble for a two-yard gain.
Yeah.
And definitely can get on the edge and make a pass. Even on the play you called, you talking about on the goal line where he rolled out, he never looked to throw the ball. That was just a design quarterback sweep. That's all it was.
Why would he? And he had no chance.
He had no chance. It looked like Clemson had 15 people on the field.
Yeah.
So, like I said, don't. If you're Alabama fan, don't panic. If you're a Clemson fan, love it, enjoy it, because you have a wave that's going. You're gonna have to replenish some players, but you're in a weak conference. You're the best team by far, so you're gonna dominate this conference for at least 3 to 4 more years.
Right.
And you got the golden ticket to the Final Four right now. So Clemson, enjoy. Yeah, Bama got some soul searching to do. They got some things to do, but it ain't that. Let's not panic. It's not all that.
Don't trip.
Don't trip and holler about. I've heard the dynasties. Oh, this is it. Oh, okay.
I think it looks like it's an issue only because this past season and the championship game last year have we paid that much attention to. That we weren't paying attention to Alabama's offense being an explosive offense.
Right.
It's always been the defense. Exactly. But now that the defense got walked on, then it looks like there's a problem because that's Nick Saban's thing.
Exactly.
But I think this is just a one game sample. It doesn't make any overarching narrative about the SEC or even about Alabama.
I agree.
It's one game, and there's a lot of teams who would love to lose by 28 to Clemson in the national championship.
Right.
I know Alabama doesn't love it, but they got there. And I think we're going to see these same two teams next year.
Probably so.
In New Orleans.
I agree. Yeah. I mean,
Smoove, what you got?
Just one last thing, and I'm glad Hancock pointed that out. Josh Jacobs, quarterback who pretty much ran the Wildcat, he carried the ball 11 times. Do you all think that Nick Saban and his staff lost confidence in Tua early? Because there's no reason that Alabama should run the Wildcat that many times.
I don't think Tua was completely healthy. Like, to where he can't move like that.
I think Tua is suffering, and I think Alabama is suffering from loss of coordinators.
Ooh, year, I'm glad you said that, because I got something for that. Go ahead.
Every year they're losing coordinators. So for them to stay in the position they've been doing is really big.
Yeah.
Because people, you have to understand, Nick Saban is a great football coach, but he's a CEO of the whole thing. He has to delegate and allow somebody to do other things. And every year he has a new offensive coordinator, probably a new DC, because somebody comes in and gets that person and takes him on.
Right.
So, I mean, it will be fine. He'll plug and play. He got the guy from Tennessee. He's there. He'll probably move over to some. You know,
Bush
Jones will move up to one of those positions, one of those coordinators, probably defense or whatever. So, I mean, and I'm sure D. Will can elaborate, and he'll talk about it whenever we talk to him. We talk to him tonight?
No, not tonight.
Well, whenever we talk about
it. Got to give him a week.
He'll probably still trying to recover. But those things happen, and the continuity that he does not have in his coaching staff in that aspect has to have an effect. And when you're up, or when you're the top, what's the only way to go?
Down.
Yeah. So it is what it is.
I'm going to end on this, and that's going to end our hot news. To your point, Hand, and I'm going to say this. Clemson has won 2 national championships. And where we used to make fun of Clemson, Clemsoning, mm-hmm. things of that nature, they've gotten to the top of the mountain at this particular point. And it doesn't look like that train going to be coming off the track anytime soon, at least for the next 2 years, right? But one thing people have to realize is that two things has helped this situation for Clemson. One, it's fun to play with Dabo, and you can see that on the sideline. Mm-hmm. You can see it in the locker room with him dancing and things of that nature with the players. I mean, emotionally, he's on the sideline having fun, and you can see it on the sideline. Alabama is more of a business-like approach. You know, they kind of take on the moniker of their coach. Business-like, you know, once the game is over, we can celebrate, but we finna get back to business, you know. Two, and I want y'all to let this marinate. To your point, Hancock, since Saban has been there, he's lost 20 assistant coaches. I'm going to say that one more time.
20.
He has lost 20 assistant coaches. Ever since Dabo has been there, he's only lost 3. So you can see the consistency in the chemistry.
Continuity.
In the continuity between the two schools. If you lose the 20 assistants and you're still able to maintain this train that you're riding on, that's pretty impressive.
That's what I'm saying.
To lose 3 means that I don't want to leave a fun place to play. If I know I can have fun and still be able to win, Dabo has shown you that I can have fun and win at the same time.
That's fun, all good and fine, but when they come with the millions of dollars, the guy you just talked about, they're going to offer him his own job.
But you are.
I'm just saying.
I feel you.
Fun is good, but that light bill and water bill come due. I promise you, you cannot pay it with fun.
All right, man. Let's go in the hot news. When we get back. You already know NFL Roundtable Discussion, baby. Can't wait. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the Real 1100, srtradio.com.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap. Sports Roundtable.
Hey, we got something to say.
Cleveland's got
something. We on the West Coast.
This is Cleveland Farrell, but
hey, a lot of y'all might understand this, but if you want to cut random recruits out there, if you want to come to a program where you got to worry about your coach, all up in the locker room, the answer, come to Death Valley.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM. The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports Roundtable back. And for some reason, I just kind of knew that promo was going to get played on Sports Roundtable this week. The world's greatest producers in the building, G-Money, as he always surprises and keeps our guests on their toes, guessing and ready for that next thing. Shout out to all of the people on Facebook Live who are Clemson fans. I see you, David. I see you, Gerald. I see y'all been eating up the timeline on my Facebook Live just with all kind of Clemson talk. So you got what you wanted. Enjoy the moment and things of that nature. But it's now time to move into the NFL. And we had a NFL field week of NFL, Saturday and Sunday, hand smooth. And, you know, I know your Titans didn't make it, but, you know, again, Chandler Parson being released or not playing for the Memphis. Yeah, probably tops the Titans going to the playoffs.
Best news I heard all year.
So, I mean, I know you can't be no more happier than that, but we're going to start with the game, the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. I'm just going to start out with this, and this is as simple as that. Me and Han, we've already talked about this. Look, the Colts offensive line dominated the whole game. They took away what the Texans does, and let's get to the quarterback. J.J. Watt, 16 sacks. I think Clowney had about 8.5. You know, they just could not – he was not sacked at all. And he was able to buy time and get time in the pocket, and it was all it was, too. That was just pure domination in the trenches, and that's why they was able to go ahead and win. And they move on, and to be quite honest, you know, you got – this offensive line against many people say we really don't trust Andy Reid. So we got something forward to look forward to as far as that is concerned. Smooth, your thoughts on the Colts and the Texans?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the offensive line. Talk about Marlon Mack. I think this is a guy who he only played 12 games throughout the regular season, but in those last 12, he ranked among the best running backs in terms of rushing yardage, touchdowns, et cetera, finishing out the season.
Right.
He played really well. I mean, he had 24 carries, 148 yards, and a touchdown on Saturday. So it's just more evidence that the Colts actually dominated in the trenches.
Right.
Especially offensively. Disciplined football. Frank Wright. The Colts only committed 2 penalties, which accounted for about 10 yards. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Get no better than that.
You want to play disciplined football, and they did it. When they got in the red zone, they converted 3 out of 4 times.
Absolutely.
Andrew Luck, I don't know what it is. I mean, I think he's the best quarterback in that division, and he's proven it time after time. When he's healthy, the Titans, the Texans, and Jaguars, they all struggle with Andrew Luck. And, you know, here he is now. I mean, they finished, what, 10-6 in the regular season? And I think they actually have a shot to beat Kansas City. We hadn't made picks yet, but I'm picking. I'm taking the Colts in the points.
All right, Han, your thoughts on the game real quick?
The Colts have really turned this thing around. And I think, you know, just listening and watching what people are doing now, they're taking more time in the preseason, not beating their teams up. Used to be this was the time to toughen your team and, you know, make sure that they're ready for their season opener. But I think if you watch the teams, everybody's taking a page from Belichick and now using the first 4 games as their preseason, especially when you play in weaker divisions. You can take your time and kind of play and round yourself into shape. And we saw that with the Colts. They started out slow, but they started to mesh, and they understood what they had in the offensive line, which goes along with what they've kind of taken the model of what Dallas did, which is start and be good around the basketball, which used to be the philosophy of all sports, you know, be good as close as you are to the ball, have your better players there. And it used to be that we used to, in basketball, just centers or whatever, in your offensive line, you wanted to be able to control the lines of scrimmage. And that's what they're doing now by protecting Luck. Yeah, true enough, I was one of those that doubted he'd ever get back to form, to be honest with you. I didn't think he was, you know, I thought he was maybe a little overrated anyway. But the way he's playing now, being protected, he's really, you know, going to come into next year as one of the MVP candidates. And if it wasn't for such a dominant year by Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, he probably really would have elevated more into this MVP discussion.
Maybe he's pissed that he's not even in the discussion in this week.
And that's fine. Everybody can be pissed, but like I said, like Mike Tyson said, everybody got a plan till they get hit. There has been nobody in the NFL to see speed like they're going to see from Cheetah. I mean, it just is what it is. You can say I'm ready for it, but his speed is different. So playing at home, Kansas City plays different at home.
Right.
They just do. I mean, this has been through the years. They've been a hard place for people to win there, and I think it's going to be a good football game. I put it like this. The Colts can't play. They can't come in there and win with 16 points this week.
No.
You're going to have to score 38, somewhere in there. So I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. But I heard that the weather might be a little mm-hmm. snowflake. I don't think sloppy, but I think snow. Okay. So that might slow it down a little bit. But it's snowing for both teams. That's the only thing. So it's just not going to be snowing over there where Cheetah is. It's
right, going to
be
right.
snowing everywhere.
It's going to be snowing
so
everywhere.
So let's see what happens. But, yeah, that game this past week, the Colts really showed that they have a dominant offensive line. And I think, honestly, Harris, to me, that's the best defense for them when they're playing Kansas City is to keep Mahomes on the sideline.
Yeah. Right.
So if they can move those chains,
right.
shorten the game, shorten the possessions, I think it benefits them.
Yeah.
They get into a shootout.
Yeah.
It's catered by the door, and we'll see what happens with the local kid, Eric Berry.
Yeah.
If Berry can get on the field and give them something, I think that really benefits Kansas City. I think they'll play better. But we just don't know what he has in the tank and what he, you know, I think they played him sparingly for this moment. So we'll see what happens.
I don't know if snow going to help him.
Exactly. I don't know what he got.
Exactly. You know?
Marlon Mack coming at him.
Right? Yeah, ain't no doubt about it.
Andrew Luck going to try to get some kind of way one-on-one,
yeah.
you know, and the way he's throwing the Ebron, that's the key because I saw Eric Berry give Gronk fits
right.
when he was healthy. So let's see because I know with what Ebron has done this year, Berry will be there to try to counteract that this year.
Exactly.
So that'll be a good chess win. We'll see
it
what happens.
It will be a good chess. All right, G. We're going to your Cowboys in Seattle, the next game. Dallas pulls it out, 24-22. And I want to just get your thoughts on the game real quick.
Well, I thought that I've been iffy on Dak Prescott.
You ain't
for
Hancock.
A very long time.
You ain't Hancock.
I'm still iffy.
So am I. But he was able to make plays, and I felt like that was going to be needed for the Cowboys to have a chance. Like, Dak would have to make some plays. We just can't hand it to Zeke all night. Dak would have to make some plays, and he did, especially that third down.
Third and 14.
He ran for 16. That led to a touchdown, which ended up needing.
That was the game.
Yeah. I think that and he made enough plays in the passing game, but the game plan was to give the ball to number 21. And they gave it to him 30 times, and that won the game. I think like having that balance, not asking him to do too much, and with Garrett actually having a balanced game plan is what helped. And defensively, Seattle, I guess their game played right into the Cowboys' hands as far as they're going to run the ball, and when they tried to start throwing it, it was too late.
Too late.
And then not having a kicker really changed, even though they got both 2-point conversions, I think, that they went for. That kind of stifled what they wanted to do as far as if they wanted to kick a field goal or at any other point.
Right.
That kind of stifled what they wanted to do. But overall, I think the balanced game plan is what won it for the Cowboys.
Now, I will argue that you had more issues with believing in Jason Garrett than Dak. So you got to choose one.
It's still Dak.
It's still Dak over Jason Garrett?
It's still Dak. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen the consistency from Dak yet. I kind of know what I have with Jason Garrett already.
Okay, I got you. All right, let me let Smooth go before we let Hancock go, because Hancock probably go smash Dak again.
Yeah. First off, hopefully Allen Hurns is all well. I saw that that was horrific and just gruesome. I mean, it literally snapped like a stick. But, I do want to talk about Seattle. The thing that they want to be good at, they didn't excel at on Saturday night. They only ran the ball 24 times for 73 yards.
Right.
That's not going to get it. You can't control the clock, and they didn't dominate the trenches. We just talked about it in with the Colts. You have to, if you really want to be good, you have to dominate the closer you get to the ball.
Absolutely.
I think they're still, maybe a year or two away from being where they want to be or where they were with Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson, who's your best player? I don't think you can continue to only throw the ball 27 times when he's your best guy. You need to put the ball in his hands and make something happen. But to the Cowboys' credit, I just think they simply have better talent. Zeke, who in my opinion is probably been the best running back in the league this year, in my opinion. Amari Cooper has changed everything. He's made the Dallas's offense a lot more dynamic. It's opened up what they can do, and you know, he's proven that he was worth that first round pick that Oakland gave up for him. Right. Defensively, Dallas, they continue to be pretty much stout. I mean, they limited Seattle to only 74 yards rushing, and Doug Baldwin, the receivers, Seattle's receivers, they're just not effective at all. Byron Jones, who I don't know if he's going to make the All-Pro team, but he's really good.
He did. He's second
okay.
team.
Okay. Yeah, that kid is really good. You know, Dallas, they have a lot of decisions to make and a lot of people to pay coming up in the next, what, year or two. So, you know, congrats to Cowboys. And, you know, I won't make my pick now, but I'll just say I like the Cowboys.
So, Han, before I leave, I'm going to say this. Dallas defense up front dominated up front. They stopped the run, and Dak made plays. And I'm going to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Dak made plays the last 2 weeks. He's shown a lot the last 2 weeks, to be honest with you. I'm just not really a Dak fan. You know, I'm just going to be honest. I think he's limited as a quarterback. But his confidence and the confidence that the people have around him kind of counteract that or counterbalance that.
Right.
So it's really not as big of an issue as it should be or might be, because they believe in it. And that's really all that you really want. If I call a play and it's the wrong play and you go out and execute to your fullest and make it happen,
right,
then you believed in what I said. Whether it was wrong or not, we got it done.
Right.
And pretty much when I look at Dallas, they're fighting almost with one hand tied behind their back with Dak, because he's not a prolific passer. He really, to me, doesn't go to his second and third reads. What he should do more of is use his legs. And when he does that, he adds a dimension to their offense that makes them on par with prolific passing teams, because he keeps the chains moving. And that's what you want to do. When you're playing against a defense, keep them out there. Keep them with running plays. If you can move the chains on teams, you got a chance of beating them. And that's the thing with Dallas. They'll pound you with that offensive line and Zeke coming at you. Zeke needs to touch the ball 25 times to 30 times a game, whether that's catching a couple of shots out of the backfield, whatever. But you got to put the ball in his hands, and you got to let that thing work. Dallas right now has a chance next week. And then we're talking about Seattle game, so let's talk about that. I think they imposed their will early. I think they stayed in the game and did just enough to win. And G talked about it. The biggest play was a 16-yard quarterback draw, when all they were trying to do was position themselves for a field goal. It wouldn't have made it a two-score game, but it would have made Seattle have to score a touchdown to beat them.
Right.
He ended up getting 16. He only needed 14 and really closed the game right there. Because if you remember, Seattle went right down the field. And I don't think they used Tyler Lockett enough. To me, Tyler Lockett is dynamic. We talk about them not having a receiver. He is dynamic. He is that receiver that they have. Not big in stature, but he makes plays. I think at one time when they talked about it, the passing between he and Russell Wilson was a perfect passer rating, like 158 point something. So that he's a big-time player. But I do think Baldwin is slowing down. Mm-hmm. Plus, he missed a lot of the year. But Dallas was able to curtail that rushing game, which is what Seattle built their whole season on, was being able to run the ball and make plays when they needed. Dallas came up with the bigger plays and outlasted them and move on. So hats off to them. I really thought Russell would go in there and beat them, to be honest with you. Dallas proved me wrong, moved on to play Rams. It's going to be a good football game. And I think it's the best matchup for them. I don't think they would have done well going into New Orleans. So I think this is a good matchup for them to move on and play up against the Rams. Rams are a front-running team, and they're one of those teams that can't get frustrated if the plays don't happen fast.
Right.
So we're going. That's just a little foreshadowing.
There you go.
But, I do think Dallas really played to a higher level, and they played well the last 2 weeks. So they got momentum going.
The Chargers, Ravens, and I lead with this. The Chargers defense had 7 sacks, and they stopped the run. That formula that Baltimore had been relied upon when Lamar had come into the game, 6-1 as a starter. Get the run game going, get him outside of the pocket, move the chains, things of that nature. 2 weeks before they played San Diego, they kind of dominated. They kind of showed their hand in the game and, to me, never really made any other adjustments. And San Diego was making all the adjustments and had been, and they didn't show their hand. And they were able to do what they needed to do, and they got pressure on the quarterback, sacking them 7 times. And I think that defense is underrated and has been underrated for most of this year. So I start out with you, Jay. Your thoughts on the Chargers in Baltimore game?
Yeah. The Los Angeles Chargers. Yeah, we have to, you know, condition ourselves to say Los Angeles. But Phillip Rivers, you know, he's a guy. I would say he was drafted in that same quarterback class with Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. He's yet to, you know, prove that he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but this could be the year. Anthony Lynn, their head coach. Gus Bradley, who, you know, we've talked about many times, who I felt should have been, you know, the Dan Quinn's choice for a defensive coordinator. He put together an amazing game plan. They absolutely dominated Baltimore's offensive line, you know, and it was evidenced by the 7 sacks. I like Lamar Jackson, but I think there's, you know, a lot of room for improvement. He needs improving on a lot of things. It sort of limits Baltimore and what they can do in the passing game. They run the ball really well with them, but from now on, I honestly expected Joe Flacco to actually step in at some point because they just struggle moving the ball. But San Diego, they were able to continually move between the 20s, and, you know, the first half they converted on a lot of those field goals until they eventually punched it in. San Diego, they talent-wise, they just seem to be the better team. Melvin Gordon, he couldn't completely get it going, but, you know, he made it count when they needed it most.
Absolutely.
The passing game wasn't there for the Chargers, but Phillip Rivers, he made a lot of big plays with his legs. And he's not a guy that we normally see that from, but, you know, it was one of those games where he needed to do what he had to do, and he got it done. So, you know, I commend the Chargers for coming all the way across the country and winning a tough game. And, the conditions weren't terrible. It was really cold, but they did what they needed to do, so congrats.
All right, Han, what you got?
Yeah, this is what I thought going into this game when we talked about it earlier. I thought that the Chargers would come up with a game plan to counteract what Lamar does well. They wanted to force him out to a side or whatever and put pressure on him from the point. And I didn't see them putting that many corner DBs on the field. That was a twist that I didn't see coming. But it ended up helping by putting more speed on the field. They knew linebackers wouldn't be able to contain him. Even when they had certain spies on him, he outran those guys when they lost angles. So he has that kind of speed. But, yeah, he didn't play well or whatever, but I think we all have to chalk that up to being his first time in the game. Everybody does not make it past those first times in the playoffs. So, I mean, I think all that, we need to put Flacco in and all that. Well, I don't think the offensive game plan helped him anyway.
Right.
I think you played in it too tight. You had all those guys spread it out and run the ball. Go four wide some. Show some different looks. Run some jet sweep. Do some different things. Make the defense move. Get them going one way. What you want to get them doing is moving and then have Lamar do other things. Late in the game when they went four wide, and I know people say, well, it was garbage time or whatever, but, hey, they got the ball back with a chance to win the game. Mm-hmm. So my thing was, finally, when you got desperation time, you decide to change and go all out and spread out, put four wide on the field, spread the defense, make them have to defend more area. When they did that, Baltimore came successful, but it was all ultimately too late. Great game plan by San Diego. Well, by the Chargers, and now they move on.
There it is. We got to move on quickly, so we go jump to the Eagles and the Bears. And Marty said Chicago needs God right now with what's going on with R. Kelly, missed field goals,
oh my
and things of that nature. Chicago needs some prayer. Marty, that's your cousin.
That's my cousin.
That's your cousin. So I would expect that from him. But moving to the Chicago Bears, Philly game hand, the only thing I can say is Chicago had their best team on the field with a lead, with a touchdown. The Eagles win 12 plays, 80 yards.
Right.
That's all I can say.
And that's it. I mean, when you put your best on the field, all you can ask for is to go down with your best unit on the field to make a play. This was why you brought Khalil Mack in to close. He's the closer. And they weren't able to do it. And this is what we said. Well, when we talked about it earlier, my thoughts on the whole thing was that Philly was at a time now to where it's important to them. Golden State's going through it now. But this is playoff time. You'll see it turn up later in the year when Golden State gets to playoff time.
Right.
This is what Philly was waiting on all year. The whole season was like they thought it was over, but now you gave them a glimmer of hope and got them in, and this was all they needed to get in. I still don't know how Nick Foles wins. I have no understanding of how a guy that's basically was a journeyman quarterback and somebody who didn't even want to play football anymore now leads a team to a Super Bowl and is on the verge of getting to another NFC championship game. So right. It is crazy just to see that, but I think this is what they all were looking for anyway. They didn't, the regular season to them, I think that's why I got away from them, because they weren't really interested. But now, the antenna up.
Yeah. IG, I hope you don't hurt nobody's hearts with what you got to say.
But no, like the Bears did everything that they needed to do to win the game except score enough points. They had more total yards. They were okay on third down. Trubisky didn't play terrible. Allen Robinson had an incredible game. But sometimes it just comes down to one play, and it was blocked. I know people want to blame Cody Parkey. I saw the replay. I can't remember who got a hand on it, but that kick was blocked. But I think too much credit is being given to Nick Foles.
Uh-oh.
Just a little bit.
Uh-oh.
This is that hot hand thing coming out again.
Uh-oh.
I think the defense played well enough to keep the Eagles in the game. And I think Nick Foles made enough plays, but this doesn't mean that some team needs to give him $20 million next year. I mean, but unless he comes in and beats the Saints, I don't think that's going to happen. And the last time we saw the Eagles and the Saints, didn't the Saints win 48-7?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last time we saw Clemson before this year, they beat Alabama pretty good, too.
Yeah.
That's a totally different team. With the Eagles, that was a few weeks ago.
You're right.
I don't think that much has changed.
Okay.
But I think that, this Foles mania is going to end next week.
All right, so real quick, Smooth, your thoughts on the game in 30 seconds if you can.
Yeah, I find it kind of ironic and funny that Cody Parkey was actually the Eagles kicker at one point. So, you know, it's funny how things work. Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson were both Andy Reid proteges. So,
close friend.
Yeah.
And Dabo and Saban.
Yeah. So there's a lot of connections in a way in this game. Defensively, both teams did what we expected them to do. And, you know, it's just as simple as it's playoff football.
Right.
Neither team rushed the ball very well. But, you know, you had that big game from Allen Robinson, who looked like the guy that they paid him to be this year, as you mentioned it. So, you know, I'll leave it short. Congrats to Philly. Who they're moving on, but I think it's going to come to an end.
Let me ask y'all this. How many sacks did Khalil Mack have?
This game?
Yeah.
I don't remember one.
Zero.
Zero, yeah.
How many sacks did you need for him to have on the last drive?
Just one big one.
Yep. How many pressures did you need for him to have? And I'm not knocking him.
But they had him in a couple of times in, like, dropping in pass coverage. I don't understand that.
Jason Peters. Gee, well, can we at least get Jason Peters some credit?
Yeah, I mean, that he's their best lineman. If you don't say Jason Kelce, their best lineman is Jason Peters.
Right. Listen, the trend for this weekend is offensive line, defensive line. Who controls that, more than likely, is going to be your winner.
And also, setting your protections and getting the ball out quick also helps your offense.
Ain't no doubt about it.
And that's the thing that I think Nick Foles does. He has a read, and he gets the ball out. And especially when they run their little RPOs and whatever, the ball is coming out.
He called the 4th-and-1 play.
But that's what I mean. I mean, that's why I think – and somebody said this, I don't know what, and I can't give credit to him, but they were like, Carson Wentz may be the best player – for Philadelphia, but he's not the best player for the play calling of Doug Peterson.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's able to run the game and do execute Peterson's game plan better than when Wentz is in there.
Right. All right, man. That's going to end our first hour of that roundtable discussion. When we come back, we got some hot news. And you already know, we got that guy in the building, studio. Bo Bell is in the building, baby. We got to talk some NBA. So you listen to the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the Real 1100. Keep it locked. SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peekville. AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
The work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Or more specifically, the feet work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies. Specifically, how footwork is the foundation to be a complete basketball player. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy, where footwork is key.
Attention, radio station listener. This might make you say, "Oh my God!" Get this station in 1,500 live stations, plus a custom station you can create all in one right now. Download the free app now at iHeartRadio.com.
Oh my God!
Sports Roundtable.
106 million for Otto Porter. Are you out of your mind? Those are franchises that will never win. I don't care. You're not trying to win. Cannot be serious. 106 million for Otto Porter?
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in their DNA. Uh-huh. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll type forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's the second hour of the show. Sports Roundtable is here. SRT crew, HO. The superhero Hancock, Jay Smooth, and of course D Money. Got Bo Bell in the saddle, baby. He coming up real soon. We got to get to some other news real quick. But most importantly, if you want to call the show, 404-603-8770. That's the number to call. You can find us on social media at SRT Radio. Just make sure you follow us. But some other news, the Falcons. And they hired their offensive coordinator. They hired their tight end coach. And they hired their special team coach, which me and G been practicing on his name. I have no idea how to pronounce that.
Katuika.
Bless
Ben
you.
Katuika.
Bless you.
Dirk Cutter comes back. becomes Matt Ryan's offensive coordinator. Malarkey, tight end coach. Just want to get your real quick thoughts on that.
I think, well, Cutter, you really can't knock that. If you look at the offense of what, you know, the offense, the way Tampa Bay moved the ball, yeah. I mean, why, you can't do any worse than that. I think he's a pretty decent offensive mind. Right. I think he was over his head as a head coach. So putting him back in a position where he's comfortable, that's fine. If I was Dan Quinn, I probably wouldn't talk to him much anyway because I'm going to be concentrating on defense and my job. So you allow Cutter to do what he does and just let me know when I need to make a decision on fourth down or third down, and that's it. But I think I'm not – Malarkey, okay, whatever. I'm not really, you know, either way on that. But I'm okay with the Cutter, signing.
Jay may not have a lot to say.
He has, you know, like you said, history with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Samir Aaron. First time Matt Ryan ever threw 4,000 yards with Dirk Cutter.
Hey, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. And, I mean, he'll be able to do some things with him. Now, the thing is, how do you sign Julio back, or do you sign Julio back, or do you franchise him? That's going to be the key.
Yeah, that's going to be the key. All right, Smooth. I know Malarkey probably wasn't your favorite guy in Tennessee.
Won the playoff game.
Yeah, he did. You know, I guess that's what you think about the sign of Dirk Cutter, Malarkey, and Achu, whatever his name is, him.
I like the Dirk Cutter move. Continuity, that's a big thing, and we talked about that earlier with Clemson and, you know, them only losing three assistant coaches within so many years and Alabama losing so many. You bring in a guy who Hancock said that Matt is familiar with. I mean, look at it this way. He made Ryan Fitzpatrick look good last year. And I know that's been a pretty hard thing to do. So, you know, I think Matt Ryan is a superior quarterback to Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, you know, I expect the Falcons to keep rolling. And what's most important is that you want some consistency out of Matt. And I think this move does that for you. As far as Mike Malarkey, he was pretty much brought in to do the paperwork. Do the things that Dan Quinn doesn't have time to do or want to do. So, you know, congrats to Malarkey. He has another job. You know, I don't think it's a significant signing in any way, but, you know, congrats to him. Welcome to Atlanta. See you and wherever we see you. But I like it, though. Dirk Cutter, specifically.
All right. Other coaching moves. Cleveland feels their job. Freddie Kitchens. Denver, Vic Fangio. Fangio, the defense, the DC for Chicago Bears. Bruce Arians comes back to the sideline for Tampa. Mm-hmm.
I like that move.
Yeah.
Also, like Todd Bowles.
Yeah. Also had Todd Bowles. Now, this is the one. Here we go with the boy bands. I say it for you, G. Cliff Kingsbury, your thoughts.
I don't know, like, only someone who looks like Cliff Kingsbury. What hot hand? He was fired from Texas Tech. What hot hand are we talking about?
This is
even if I believed it, there wasn't one here.
This is the McVay effect. Sean McVay.
Shanahan McVay, all those young
guys. Shanahan, McVay, Nagy, Peterson, like, just trying to chase that offensive genius, and they kind of did that with Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland, but at least he was already there instead of just bringing someone else in altogether. I don't know what to make of this. Like, only someone who looks like Cliff Kingsbury, if you understand what I mean,
right,
could be fired from a middle of the pack Big Five conference job. And then just get an NFL job. And he already had a job at USC. But then the NFL just randomly comes calling. I don't know what the correlation is or what the obsession was with, like, let's get Cliff Kingsbury back in the NFL. But I don't think this is going to work out. I don't think it's going to – I think he's going to get longer than 1 year, longer than Steve Wilkes got.
That'll be a shame.
But he might get a year and a half.
So he's gonna try for the Bachelor season 7 is what you're saying if he gets fired?
Yeah, or he'll have his own, like, the Cardinals will be on Hard Knocks, and then it'll just spin off into the Cliff Kingsbury show in his search for another coaching job.
The Packers signed Matt LaFleur. That's that another boy band. The openings are Cincinnati still has an opening, and the Jets in Miami, they saying that Miami may hire Chris Richard. He may be the next, so I'm just kind of giving y'all some update. But let me just say this. 8 head coaches are 45 years or younger in this league. So while we talked about the fantasy football league throughout the season, maybe this is the social media area.
But this is what this is, man. I mean, I heard you talk about Kingsbury. And yeah, he doesn't have the good resume and all that, and I understand that. But his resume has Patrick Mahomes on it.
Yep.
And Baker Mayfield.
That's what it is. Well, in a little Mayfield. But the Case thing Keenum, is, they're using
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
They're using so many concepts from college now. They're using all these concepts of spread. They don't allow you to hit people. It's flag football. So if you're playing flag football, go get people who know flag football.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it. He's going to it's a speed game, and it's also having tight ends that can dominate. And if he can do that and incorporate, Kansas City hadn't played defense this year. And they're the number one seed in the AFC. Yeah. And I'm not saying Arizona is going to be that. But the thing about it is you have to put people in the seats and have them get excited about something. You got a quarterback that has a golden arm out there. All you need now, you got to put some players around him. You got to get some speed, and you got to protect him a little bit. But it's going to be an offensive show. And that's what I always say. You put all your money on one side or the other. Go ahead and trade Patrick Peterson now. Get some picks, some players, and do the offense. And get Arizona rocking about offense right now. That's, you have to get them excited. And he's going to put sell seats. What other thing was going to get them excited?
Not Steve Wilkes.
That's what I'm saying. So now you're going from a dud. Now you're going for somebody who has the look. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
He's a love daddy. He's going to get all the hundreds going crazy. And when they put up points, if they in some shootouts and lose 45-35, 45-47, things like that, people going to get excited. And they'll go to the games. And that's what it's about first. Excitement, entertainment. They don't have nothing out there. Why would you watch them right now?
Crickets.
You wouldn't watch it. Was anybody excited about watching Kansas City before this year?
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm. So it's all about putting people in the seats. And I'm telling you, they flex games. Let Arizona start scoring and putting up points next year.
I agree.
It's all about entertainment.
Jalen Hurts in the transfer portal.
A year too late. For me.
Smooth.
Yeah, I agree. I think he should have pulled the trigger earlier this year. Possibly, he still could have redshirted, before 4 games? So, it's a lost year, but hey.
They didn't win that championship, so we can't say he stayed for that.
I mean, he's going to go down in Alabama lore as a hero, especially what he did in the SEC championship game. Led them to 2 national championship games, 1-1, right? Or did he didn't win either, did he?
Well,
they lost to Deshaun as his freshman year. And then
sophomore, he got replaced.
And he got replaced. So he really, I guess he was a quarterback of record in last year's games.
Yeah, he got the win for it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he'll go down as a hero of Alabama, you know. I mean, seriously, he's got his place. But I think he should have left after, you know, knowing that this was going to be Tua's, you know, he gave the keys to Tua. He should have got out of there.
We'll get D-Will on the phone next week to speculate where he's going to go. But just getting back to football real quick before we go to break. I don't think anybody in the NFC West is over the age of 40 but Pete Carroll as far as a coach.
Yeah, that's it. Kingsbury is, 39? So he may be 40 when the season starts.
McVay is 14.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, Pete Carroll babysitting out there, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, the whole that's crazy just to think about that, man. But
yeah,
the whole division got young coach, got young a boy coach. Band.
Yep.
Lord, have mercy. All right, man, that's gonna do it for some hot news. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, you already know he's in the building, Bo Bear, baby. We're talking basketball. And I got one question before we even start this basketball talk. One question only, and I got to ask him first. Y'all make sure y'all stay tuned and check this out, because it's going to be fun. SRTRadio.com on the Real 1100. Keep it locked.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Real, Real 1100 AM. Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's the Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
Sports Roundtable.
All right, need to score 2 points.
Here's how I see it. Duck.
Yes.
You kick it into the girl bunny.
Yeah.
Down in the post. You dish it back out to the guy bunny.
Got
you
it.
Swing around the mic over here. You go to the hole and dominate.
We on defense.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I don't play defense.
Typical.
All right, you're going to have to listen to Mike on this, guys.
Okay.
Listen up.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM. The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports Roundtable back.
That's where I was going.
Oh, my God. But he boiled out of tame, man. Sports Roundtable back at you, man. It's that time. Well, we're about to get into the second half of our Roundtable Discussion, because we got a special guest in here. And before we let everybody know who it is, just got to say I'm proud to have known this young man. He's been family. He's here every year when it comes to basketball season to let you know what it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Bo Bell is in the building.
How's everybody doing?
Bo Bell.
Good.
What's happening?
Good. Yes, sir. Always good to be here, man.
Absolutely.
This is an honor every time.
This segment is sponsored by Coach Bobell.com. If you go to CoachBobell.com for more information, where he influences your basketball game at a high level, and his key thing is feet work. And the question is to you, before we even get into this NBA, does James Harden travel?
Perfect man to ask, because he
perfect
knows
man to ask him. Does James Harden travel? Because this is why we asking. We looked at a video, me and Hancock, and you know we got our executive producer. He's that guy. He came back with a video, and he done broke this thing down to where, what is it called? A zero dribble,
zero step.
And I'm like, hold on now.
You have the step. You have a when on your last dribble,
right?
You get a step.
Yep.
As long as you don't pick the
as
ball,
as long as you don't touch the ball,
as long as your
with
hands
your
on the
hand.
Side yeah. or above, it's a zero step.
So you researched it too.
I saw a guy break it down like the Zapruder film when they shot JFK. I have never seen the crazy crap that they trying to tell me about this being not. You asked Bo Bell a question. Talk to me, Bo.
All right. So here's what it is. This is what I see.
Okay.
It's travel.
Thank you.
A lot of times, you know, it's travel but the referees, they're not watching his feet. They're watching the game just like we are.
Okay.
So a lot of times they're not going to call it. They're watching the move. They're watching the game. They're not watching his feet. And so the movement, it doesn't say travel. They go to that zero dribble. That's true. The last dribble that they take before they go into the move, that's what they call zero dribble. So now he got two additional. But sometimes he be taking 3 steps. Wow, 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 wow. You know? And so he's getting away with it. He's doing it because they allow him to get away with it. Yeah. And the thing about it is, James is so dynamic. And what I mean by that, what makes him unique is, not only is he left-handed, but his feet work is exceptional going to the basket. Now, when he's going downhill going to the basket, very rarely does he walk. But when he's setting you up, like when he started doing the tiny dribbles in front of you, he's setting you up. that's setting his feet work up pretty much.
Oh, okay.
When you see him, those, you better start getting back because you don't know when he's going to take that thing and step back on you. So, but when he's going downhill, what makes him unique and what makes him special is the movement of the ball. The ball never stays in one position when he's making his move. He'll show you the ball, and then you hit his hand, and then he'll get a foul, and he just hands his score everywhere. So it's the movement of the ball. He's left-handed, and then he's taking steps. So now you got three tasks that you got to try to time.
Yeah. It's impossible.
It's tough. And so when he shoots layups, it's almost like he's shooting. Even when guys are contesting, it's like he's shooting by himself
because
they can't time him.
Right.
And so that's what makes him special. He got this time clock, this unique time clock built inside of his game that most guys just don't have.
Right.
And that's what makes him special. Right?
But the thing that happens is that during the regular season, they bail him out a lot. But come playoff time, the later he gets against the better teams, when there's body contact, when the hands are up or whatever, they don't blow the whistle in the playoffs. As you noticed against Golden State last year, he didn't get a lot of those calls.
Yeah.
But during the regular season, he's getting every whistle. So do you think that the officiating being different in the playoffs is going to affect them again in this run? Because to me, that's a lot of what he does by getting to the free throw line.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, as you guys know, you know, the higher you go up, everything get more intense. The referees, everything, shot clock person, everything. The coaches, the players, everything get more intense. So it's just going to be like every play is going to be measured. It's going to be instincts, right? So when the referees see a play, they're not going to call it based on like they do because everything is pressure. It's a different pressure is what I'm saying. So it depends on who the referee is, how the game is going, whether you get those calls. And so I just think that because he's the type of – look, this guy's the best scorer to ever play the game. Offensive player.
Wow. That's big.
He the best, most the best offensive player. Now, I ain't say nothing about defense because y'all know he the Tyro defender.
Right, right.
But he is the best offensive player that ever played this game.
Wow. Do you think system has something to do with that, him being the best offensive player?
Well, they're allowing him to do what he want to do with his instincts. And when
I mean playing for D'Antoni in that system because of what we saw with what he did with Steve Phoenix. Nash.
Yeah.
Nash elevated when Dallas let him go,
thinking
that he was pretty much past the prime. He goes to Phoenix and wins two MVPs back-to-back.
Right.
Stole.
And then what the system did for Jeremy Lin.
Right.
That's the same system. So what I'm saying is we've seen this in spurts to where – now, I'm not knocking your point because it's valid. His numbers dictate that, yeah, he is. But let's say if Kevin Durant was in that system and you catered to him the way Harden is, would he be considered the best scorer of all time?
Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question. But the way that the league is now and how the style of play – everything is about analytics right now. You know, it's not really like, and they saying, okay, if you shoot more three pointers, right, than the other team, and you make, than they make, you got a better chance to win
the
game.
Exactly.
So these guys are shooting threes. I don't think it will be Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant don't attack the goal like Harden. Harden got, you know, now he don't do too much mid-range stuff. He do some.
Mm-hmm.
But he got the three ball, and he can get all the way to the basket. Now, Durant got the three ball, and he got some mid-range stuff, but he don't get to that rack like that unless he's on a fast break or in transition.
Right.
So I think that I would have to go in that particular system, D'Antoni's system. I think Harden is a better fit because all the components that he have built inside of his game, it fits better.
So – you've seen, I don't know if you've been watching a lot of basketball this year, but it's a lot of good basketball going on, and I can just name a couple of things. You know, the West is up for grabs. Who will win the East? You know, the Celtics, Philly, the Bucks, and the Raptors since LeBron is gone. It's a lot of different dynamics. Your guy in Denver, the big guy.
Jokic.
Man, he's having a spectacular season. He's kind of coming on. The Greek Freak obviously has stepped up. We finally seen Kawhi play without Pops. you know, it's a lot of storylines. Just kind of want to ask you, what have been your thoughts and what have you observed thus far in the season in watching the NBA?
Well, I kind of like some of the stuff I'm seeing because there's no one team that you can say, okay, they're going to win it. Even Golden State right now. They're so vulnerable right now. And I'm going to tell you why. Ever since that thing happened with Draymond and Durant, they haven't been the same. Because it's two things. It's trust and chemistry. You don't mess with that, especially when you don't win championships. And so when you compromise that, right, that's on another level that most people don't see and understand the inside of the game. It's two games. It's a game, and it's a game inside the game. The game that's inside the game has been compromised. Wow. And so now they're trying to fight to get that back. See, it's just like anything else, a relationship, anything. Once you lose that trust, it's hard to get it back. So now Durant, they're trying to find that continuity now that they had. It seemed like it was organic when they was doing it. They're trying to find it, and it's just not coming. It's not that easy. Once you get that, you got it, you got to keep it.
Right.
And so I think that's been sacrificed. So to me, I'm just saying, they are so vulnerable, I can't even see. Like, they're going to get challenged, man. I mean, you can't turn this on that level. They think you can turn it on, but the guys are getting so much better. Other teams are getting better, too. They're not waiting around watching to see how much better they're going to get Golden State. They're getting better, too.
Well, let me ask you this. So when that situation happened, who do you think is more to blame between Durant and Draymond?
Well,
if there's a such thing.
Well, you know, everybody know who Draymond is, his character. You know, they know. You know what I mean? So, but it's, I guess, timing is everything. And right. I guess when it happened, the way that happened, and it was on film, I think if it would have happened in the locker room, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But when it's on Front Street, everybody watching, that adds a whole different dynamic to it. And so I think that, I don't know who's right or wrong, but the fact of the matter, it happened.
Yeah.
And when you at that level, when things like that happen, where you sacrifice the trust and you compromise that chemistry, that's an issue on that level. Because already these guys are making so much money, right? They're like, oh, so you ain't going to act like this. I'm going home.
And I agree with your chemistry, but I think the chemistry was damaged when Durant signed. And I think that, you know, he fit in to what they were. But I think now when you look at him, he rebels and goes against every principle that Golden State had to become this team that they were, which was a selflessness. And you didn't hear anybody really go back and say, if Steve Kerr said something, you know, they let it go. And he would say, like, you know, that they need to pass the ball more. Well, Durant says 15 minutes later, no, they need to pass less and shoot. Okay, so everybody else is organic, homegrown. He's not. Everybody else really don't care about leaving. They like where they are. Mm-hmm. Durant's looking to say in or out. He doesn't know. So I think, like I told you before, I think his dynamic is really what tears at the fabric of what they are. The problem is that when he decides to play within the framework of what they do, they're unstoppable. And that's the thing. When he plays to the and gives up shots and plays unselfish, and Clay is making shots, I don't think they get beat. And you can see from like last night, to me this whole season has been, and a lot of this stuff would have been covered up if Clay is shooting a better percentage from three.
Or they'd have been winning.
Because they'd have been winning those games. Clay, they talk about what Draymond can't shoot or whatever. Well, that's been covered up for years because Clay and Steph were shooting unconscious. They were shooting at clips that you didn't have two people shooting at. And when they weren't making their shots, what was happening when Draymond would get the ball at the foul line and the defense would come to him? What was he doing? He was throwing the lob to either to big
JaVale McGee.
So those are easy buckets that they're not getting now.
Yeah.
Early in the year, they were getting them with Damon Jones, right?
Right.
He's not there now.
Right.
So that's something, you know, I always tell you about a run game. In football, those were plays that people didn't take account of because the flash and dash was the threes. But how many times was Draymond giving somebody an easy layup, finishing around the rim? They're not getting that now.
Well, and that's a great point. I think Lavelle, that kind of hurt him because he was an athletic big.
Exactly.
And all they had to do is when they broke it down, it was lobbing it up to him. So you're absolutely right. That's a missing component that they had last year that they got to try to find another way to score.
Yeah, I agree with that. Bo, there's been some Atlanta fans.
Including me, no.
There have been some Atlanta fans, and let me preface this by saying that you not only are a hometown Atlanta legend, that you are an international legend as well. All right, and as far as basketball is concerned, you know how the game is played. You know how you teach kids. You know how the footwork works and things of that nature. Fair, unfair, Luka Doncic versus Trae Young, because we've had people to say maybe the Hawks should have kept Luka Doncic. And Atlanta also gets an additional first-round pick, which will be in the lottery if things are working out the way that they are today. Then they will get two picks. So I'm going to ask you, because when it comes to basketball laurels, I come to the guy. So I'm going to ask you about this Luka and Trae thing. And, we see you at the basketball games at down at State Farm. So we know you watching.
Man, let me tell you, it's the NBA, it's a copycat league. You know right. what I mean? It's a copycat league, man. It's like, for example, you know, when they was watching Trae, I think when they was evaluating him, they was thinking in terms of Steph Curry. That's what they was thinking. But with the way that the game is going, and this is what we talk about all the time.
Right, right.
Positionists, okay? This guy got size. He got handle. He can facilitate. He can shoot the basketball. He can create his own. And guess what? He's not a bad defender if you're watching him. I mean, he's not the best. But the fact of the matter, all those components with that size, to me, I'm just saying, the way that the game is going, he was, you know, when they didn't pick him, I was like, man, wow, I thought he was going to be here. Now I don't take anything from Trae and the decisions that they made because they're trying to make the best decision. But I knew that guy, because I have been watching that guy since he was 16 years old, Luke.
And he was already a pro for 3 years when you started watching.
Exactly. Already. Exactly. Already.
That's right.
And already.
We talked about it on the show a year ago.
Yep.
You know, he was driving the Panamera, the Porsche truck car.
Yeah,
2 years ago. I mean, it was no bigger for him. So yeah. The limelight was not going to be too big.
Yes.
Him playing in Atlanta wouldn't have been too big. And I sat here with D. Will and Harris and said, I told y'all when I watched him, I said, this dude can play. And I'll tell you right now, he can play, and he's going to be a star in this league.
Yep. And you know what? And you're absolutely right. And it's two things. You're absolutely right. A lot of guys can play, but a lot of guys know how to play. That's two different. This dude know how to play this game.
Yeah.
Like some of the decisions he make with that basketball, man, I mean, it's like, I mean, at his, you know, being a rookie, but the advantage that he have, kind of like what you said, right, is he had that European exposure. And I just don't think people understand the level. Mm-hmm. Or what he's playing on over there. He playing against grown men. A lot of these guys get released out of the NBA. They go to Europe and play. And so he playing at the highest level in the Euro Cup. You can't get no higher than that. Playing the best basketball. I'm not saying the most spectacular basketball.
Right.
I'm saying the best basketball where you don't compromise the technique and the fundamentals, where everything is basic. Technique, pass and cut, pass and screen, read and react. And because the game's still played on the floor. I don't care how high you jump. And this guy plays the game on the floor better than most guys that have been in the league for 20 years.
Mm.
I agree, man. So, the boy can play.
Yeah,
Smooth, you got something, baby?
Yeah. I think at some point Trae will be fine. I do love the fact that he averages 7 assists per game. The scoring isn't there. He still feels a bit undersized to me. We did talk to G about it, and G has interviewed him a couple times in person. And G, he's what? Is he a legitimate 6'1"?
He's a legit 6'3".
Okay.
Is he?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And what, about 150?
Yeah, he's listed at like 180. Like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he.
That's just to make it look good.
He's a frail guy.
He is. He has to get stronger. I've been to a couple games this year, and once he gets inside the paint, he struggles with finishing at the rim.
Like last night.
Yeah, and he averages 15. I think if he improves upon his ability to finish at the rim, get stronger, he could easily average another 6 to 8 points. Mm. Maybe, but I agree with Coach. Luka Doncic is that guy.
And see, this is the point we always make. Yeah, he might average that and be this type player.
Yeah.
But is he a championship player? Mm. And when you take players that high, this is why I have a problem when people take players and you say, well, he was the best prospect or whatever. Trade out of it. Give it up and wait till you get that player that's going to help you get there. Or find someone who can make you be that.
But I think some teams that look ahead enough to where, okay, who's coming in the draft next year that we might be able to get? And if they don't see that player, then they're gonna take the best guy available.
If you're gonna use him for an asset, that's fine.
I think that a lot of the criticism has come from that the team isn't that good right now. So it's like, oh, they made a mistake, and the Mavericks have a better team than the Hawks.
That's a good point.
But that helps the Hawks because they get their pick.
Well, that helps as far as the draft pick goes. Right. But I think that some people believe that the Hawks made a mistake by trading for Trae Young. The Mavericks are a better team than the Hawks right now, and they don't know what they're going to do with Dennis Smith Jr. Because then you'll have Trae Young and Dennis Smith Jr. playing together. In the backcourt, like, they're both point guards. That wasn't going to work. They had to do.
They probably gonna move Dennis Smith. Had to do anyway. Something.
I mean, they might end up trading him anyway, but they had to give him more than just one season to figure out what they wanted to do with him.
Right.
But
I think that
do you think that this is a better choice by taking Trae over Doncic? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but
It was the better choice for the Hawks. It was the best choice for them to get someone. This is a fan base kind of pick. I don't think people were going to come out in Atlanta to come see Luka Doncic, no matter how good he was. I don't think people were going to come out and watch him.
I thought I was in the car with you, G, and I was the same way, saying that he was the best fit for the area and all that. But I don't know. If Luka was here doing the things he's doing right now, I think there'll be a buzz about that cat, man. I just honestly, it's because he has a swag too.
Right.
It's not like he's just a straight up and down, country boy from Iowa.
Right.
We talking about a dude that's probably in the clubs partying. He'd be.
Well, he don't need to be in Atlanta with that.
You know what I'm saying. But he's been around it anyway. And you don't tell me Europe don't close, right?
Well,
it's not like it's something he don't know. I understand. Because I was in the same, I had that same mentality, like, Trae need to be here. Trae needs to be, because he would set Atlanta out.
Yeah,
but man, and plus
you have to consider that, of course, what players maybe come out in the draft later, and also where Atlanta is compared to Dallas as far as their rebuild. I think Dallas is closer to being a playoff team right now than Atlanta is. Mm-hmm. So you start with the way the league is gone now. What does every team need to have? They got to have a point guard.
If Luka wasn't on Dallas team right now, you think they're a legit playoff contender?
Who?
Dallas. If they wouldn't have taken him, would he take him off that roster and take Trae off of the roster?
Their
roster is that much better?
Yeah.
I think Dallas is that much better than Atlanta's right now.
They're around 500
right now, I believe, as far as 18
and 22.
So they're not. I'm not saying they're closer to being a playoff team. Like, they could be a playoff team next year. They have more talent around them.
But G, I'm gonna piggyback on what you said about Trae. The fans and the fill the seats and that type thing. But on the other hand, like Cock was saying, is like when that guy started doing like what he's doing right now. People are going to come watch him. They're going to come see him because he's like, I just think that, okay, you got certain players that are, you got good players, you got great players to me. To me, players that make other players better that can facilitate. And what I like about this guy,
he's
bringing everybody with. Like, he got the whole team motivated. So he bringing, not only he bringing a different character and a mindset, and his talent is just he elevating the whole teams. And now they making songs and all kinds of stuff about him down there. You know what I mean? So I'm saying Trey, he's gonna be all right, but I don't know how far he can go. I mean, he can score the basketball. He's quick and get to the basket, but on that level, I just don't see it yet. You know what I mean? It's like they got to put some other pieces around him. I just don't see
it. Now, my thing would be, and my question would be, and we're going to move on to our next question is, if Luka Doncic does not be a contender, are we having this conversation?
Not be a contender, what?
It would Dallas be a contender someday? Are we having this conversation then?
If he's not, if he doesn't bring
if
them to that
never,
level.
Right. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, this is what we're talking about. We're trying to get to that contender status.
Right.
You know, and I understand what Bo is saying about, you know, he has more bells and whistles to kind of, you can put pieces around him and he can carry more of a load as far as understanding the game and things of that nature. But in another point is, if it's until you get that other pick to combine what you actually traded for, it's kind of hard to judge that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to judge.
I don't know. I would love to have Luka and John Collins together. Because John Collins bought.
Right. Yeah. Because now, because let's go to a one.
Well, then, go ahead. If you look at the makeup of the Hawks roster, then just some other moves would have to be made. Yeah. I mean, I don't. If the Hawks kept Doncic, I mean, I'm not blaming them for that. Just some other moves have to be made. Like, they can't have Prince and Bembry and
Bazemore.
And Bazemore. They can't have all of them and Doncic
together.
They're
not playing Bazemore anyway. I mean, yeah.
They're going to get rid of him anyway.
They're not even playing him, and Prince has hurt a lot and all. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care who on the fish eggs and rice. Doncic is a better player.
Oh,
and you put
matter.
Him on the team with John Collins and running the floor, they're going to be better.
But are we going to win a championship with
Maybe them? Not this year, but we definitely ain't winning one with Trey.
Right now. But will we ever be able to win a championship with him?
Well, I would love to have him and John Collins to build around.
I think, okay, if we had to draft.
And I wasn't a John Collins fan. I'm sorry,
no,
but
no,
I wasn't.
Did.
But I'm telling you, to me, he's shown he can play.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, if we had to draft today and we say, okay, which one of these guys that today, based on what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of these guys would I want to build my team around that I know of that I'm going to give me an opportunity to win a championship with the way that the game is going? It'll be Luke. It'll be Luke off the rip because he has so much fiber, team fiber in his game that makes other players better that a lot of people don't see. They just see when they're watching on TV, but he's that guy, man. He got that thing, man. He got it. So
let's move to this other guy, and the Hawks may have a chance to get him. And this is Zion Williamson at Duke. Man, the plus minus, I think he leads the nation in plus minus. When he's on the floor, he's just effective. You've watched his footwork. You've seen him, and he said, I don't want to be known as a dunker. Play last night, 30, 10, and 5, first player in 20 years or something like that to be able to put them numbers up. He blocks shots. He's a positionless player. We don't know what position he plays. Coach K just put him out there and just do what I asked you to do. So your thoughts on Zion and what you've seen?
He's a freak of nature, for one.
Well, we call him a man child.
Yeah. He's a freak of nature, man. I mean, that kid, man, like, I never seen anybody just bounce off the floor and then bounce off the floor so fast.
Yes.
Like, boom. I mean, he's up, and he's up high. So he's a freak of nature, and he got some natural ball skills. But I'm just saying, I like that guy, Barrett.
RJ.
I like him, man. I'm right. talking about because I like his potential, like, for the way that the league is going. Now, I'm not saying this guy's a gifted basketball player, Zion. But the guy, Barry, his tools, his basketball tools, You got to watch him, man. His handle, his shot, he can go where he want to, when he want to. And he's a pretty decent passer.
G say, well, every time he watches ESPN, he can't every highlight is about Zion, so he never get a chance to watch back.
It's true. Zion,
windmill 360.
So that's what I'm saying. So, and see, where I want to say hype. I watch the game. I watch the players. You know what I mean? Right. I watch, like, okay, what did he possess? Like, when I'm watching a basketball game, I'm looking at the game totally different. If a guy make a move, I'm not watching the move. I'm watching, okay, what did he do with his feet to get there? Okay, and when he made the move and when help came, what decision did he make?
Right.
Did he make the right decision? You know what I mean? You know, so I'm watching those type things. So, and then he got the size. Any athletic. The guy Barrett is very
If the Hawks has a chance to get Barrett to go along with Trey, now how does that look for the Hawks?
Well, I think having Trey, I think picking Zion would be a better pick.
Oh.
I think because now you bring in that flair that everybody wanted, that they thought. I mean, Trey is bringing it, but it's just so much, it's just so much pressure on him to try to make things happen. But I think
State Farm would be what you couldn't get a seat at
exactly,
Zion.
Exactly. So now you're going to get that effect. You're going to get people in the stand. Then you got Trey. So some of that pressure going to be off of him. Go over to Zion. Off his record. So,
you know what I'm saying? Z, you might not can get in. You might can't get the media credentials in. You might. I mean, if can you imagine if Zion was here? The amount of people that would.
Look, there is a section in State Farm that has been closed off that you normally see in, like, domes when the basketball team is playing.
Tarp over.
Yeah. That would be uncovered, like, the day that the Hawks are sure they're going to get Zion. That part would be uncovered.
That's real.
But it would be the right pick for them, and they wouldn't – maybe some players would have to move if they brought in someone like Zion because he's a forward. And the Hawks already have like 12 of them, so it would still be the right pick, and it would for box office reasons and for team building reasons. For them have to have a point guard to play with that is a great passer, then Zion is definitely the right pick for the Hawks if they get him.
But will we be in the same situation? You going over the flair over the better prospect, because that's the same thing we would. Basically talking about with Trey and Luka, right? You know, the better player is Luka, but you went with the flair. But if it comes down to this again, obviously, R.J. Barrett, you saw him last night do the James Harden step back.
Right.
Well, with the commitments that they've had to their other first-round picks, I mean, the Hawks would have, like, they would have to move players possibly if they took R.J. Barrett. They would have, like, Herter might be out of there. Bembry, maybe Spellman, Prince, like all those guys would have to go if you're going to try to build a team with Trae Young and R.J. Barrett.
But the difference okay. is between those two scenarios, right?
Right.
The difference between those two scenarios is Zion, what, 6'7", 6'8", jump over the building, potential, he can shoot it, he can put it on the floor. So that's the difference in he definitely got to work on that shot because they're not going to let this guy just go down the lane and just hop up over him like that, you know? So,
somebody on.
But I just think that his potential has a high ceiling,
right?
You know, from an athletic standpoint. Now, what I also watch, okay, if a guy can no longer jump anymore, can he still be effective?
That's their plan on the floor.
That's the plan on the floor. That's why I'm impressed with guys like the Barrett guy that plays the game. You know what I mean? I'm talking about longevity. And then how long are you going to be able to bounce around like that? You know? Because what goes up must come down. Because if you go up, you're going to come. The higher you go up, the harder you're going to come down. And that's what happened, you know, ask Rose. You know, ask all those guys. Westbrook.
He's slowing down.
It's just a matter of time.
I told people, yeah, go
just a matter of time.
Go slow down.
And here's the thing, though. Nobody teaching these kids when they're young how to land on both legs. If you watch most of them guys, when they explode up, when they come down, they come down on one leg.
Yep.
And so they don't distribute the weight across their body evenly. So what it does is put pressure on that one leg. So at some point, it's going to wear out.
Yeah.
But you talking about Prince and all them other folks, man, get them $15, let them get a ride out of here. They don't matter. They not going to help you win. That's what I can't understand when I hear people talk about, well, what about these guys? These guys are replaceable. They low spades. They diamonds. They may be a queen. They might walk here now and then, but they ain't going to help you win no spade, eh?
Yeah.
You need some big jokers, man.
Yeah.
Trae Young is probably he's a spade, but he's a jack or something like that.
That's something that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen quickly.
But I'm saying, if you got a chance to get a joker, you got to get him. Mm-hmm. And that boy is... He bordering on, at least he's an ace. Doncic is an ace.
Yeah.
He is dominating in games. Now, as a rookie. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
right.
As a rookie.
I get it. I know I get it.
Yeah.
This is hindsight. I'm guilty.
Well, anytime,
because I said take Trey too.
Yeah, but anytime people start mentioning him in the same sense as LeBron as a rookie, that says a lot.
It sure does.
Because, you know, I mean, people are talking about him in the same, like, you know, the same voices like they was talking about LeBron.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, like I said, I think we got to wait on it. Let it progress.
Yeah.
You know, because... Yeah. There's some sophomore slumps that has happened
true,
over the years.
True.
Yeah. Already.
You know what I'm saying? Already, so, and there are some people that, Hancock, you speak about that wasn't so flashy the first year. You give them a couple of years, CJ McCollum, and they come on the scene.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it can go both ways. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, let's talk about MVP, your top three MVP candidates for this year. You've already talked about James Harden. I know you love Milwaukee, so I know you love the Greek Freak. And I don't know who else you want to throw in there, but give me your top three in any particular order, no order, of your MVP for the NBA season for right now.
All right, we're going to keep it simple. Okay. You know, it's my boy at Milwaukee.
The Greek.
Yep.
The Greek. Antetokounmpo.
Yep. Harden and LeBron. Those are my three right now.
Okay.
And let me tell you, man, they're going to have to – with that boy, the Greek, man, they're going to have to start giving guys one step instead of two after they forfeit the dribble.
Wow.
Good God, because, hey, man, listen, this dude, he doing a Euro from the free throw line and dunking. They need to change the game and give him one step.
He taking one dribble from the timeline, and he's at the rim.
Yeah,
I saw it the other night.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You realize how far that is?
Yeah
that's pretty far.
And that's without the zero drill.
Wow.
I mean, Smooth, who's your top three right now as far as MVP?
Yeah, I agree with Coach. Harden, LeBron, and Greek Freak. And, you know, you only said three, but I think Kawhi Leonard has to receive strong consideration also.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, in no particular order, but I love what LeBron has done with the Lakers. He's been out. Has he come back yet?
No.
Yeah, he's still out, but what he's done, you know, with the team surrounding him, I mean, he's proven it time after time. No matter what the supporting cast is, he gets it done. James Harden, he's just played out of his mind the last 3 or 4 weeks. Seems to be unstoppable. What I love most about Harden is that he gets to the line 11 times a game, and Coach pointed that out.
Right.
Like, that's probably two more than the next closest guy in NBA, and I think it's just an easy way to rack up points. It keeps him in rhythm all the time. And Giannis, I mean, that guy is special. And I think he's still under 25 or 26. Mm. So what he's done, and I think Mike Budenholzer has helped, you know, expand his game a bit. And right. Milwaukee as a whole. So, and Kawhi, he's missed some games. But we didn't expect to do him. Well, I thought he was good, but he's exceeded expectations with Toronto.
Hancock, real quick, your guy.
Yeah, I'm with it. Freak, you got to put LeBron in there. And I like the honorable mention of Kawhi. I think, you know, the only thing is he's missing a lot of games. So I kind of give him a little demerit from that. But the guys you all talked about, they got to be in it right now. Harden, to me, probably. I said Freak, but right now, Harden has to be, to me, the front runner. What he did to bring that team from out of the playoff hunt to now, I think, fourth or third in the West.
Fifth.
And
it's pretty impressive.
And he's doing a lot of that without Chris Paul.
Without Chris Paul. Well, everybody's going to do it without Chris Paul.
Exactly.
And Houston is in trouble for 40 million.
IG, real quick, your top.
Yeah, I had the same three, Harden, Giannis, and LeBron. LeBron has shown his value by not playing. You see how the Lakers have struggled without him. And with Giannis, he's taking his game to the next step. Even though he's only shooting like 17% from three right now, if that gets to like 27%, it's over for a lot of the league. It's over.
Wow. I'm going to throw in a wild card, man. I'm going to throw in Jokic with this group. I mean, I like the group, coach, you know, that you said, but I'm going to throw in Jokic as a honorable mention. To be able to do what he's doing, to have his guys in first place without a Paul Millsap, without Will Barton.
Gary Harris
just went out as well. These are important pieces to this team. You know, and we talking about positionless basketball coach. He brings the balls up. He's almost a bigger Draymond Green in a sense that can do a little more.
And can shoot. And can shoot.
And so he's showing that he can carry a team with injuries. They didn't have a lot of fanfare players from the beginning with.
Right. But you know the problem with what him is that the fans won't get into, and this is what we talk about swag. See, Doncic has swag.
Right.
When you watch him play, Jokic, at the end of the game, you look at the stat line, you say, man, but nothing in the game is going to stand out to take your breath away.
I got
and you. That's the problem. And then all his games are played so late at night in Denver that you don't get to see him.
Well, we can fix that problem because we gonna have some for our listeners that they can stay up and watch all the NBA basketball they want.
Coming soon,
you know, coming soon. And Bo Bear, we definitely go make sure you get on that list. Already. Got something for you, man, so you can enjoy the luxury of basketball and things of that nature, man. But listen, when you hear that music, man, time goes by when you talking good sports. Time just flies. You hear what I'm saying? But it's great to have you back in studio. I see you got your glasses. I see you still on your no meat deal on Facebook. I see. Listen, Bo, tell everybody what you're doing now. Let everybody find out what Bo Bell is doing, where they can find you, how they can contact you, and how they can get their game to where it needs to be.
Oh, yeah. We at 261 Parkway Drive. We still working with, you know, kids from 5 years old all the way up to NBA, WNBA players, European. We just had a group in from Australia over Christmas. So come get that work. We specialize in feet work, but we teach you how to play the game the correct way. Come see us.
Social media, how they can find you?
Yeah, go to Coach Bobel, Coach Bobel, CoachBobel.com.
Yeah.
That's the website. Check us out. We got let me plug this real quick.
Go ahead.
We got travel teams, second grade through seventh grade, and we got four components adjacent to it. Let me say it real quick. We have an education enhancement program. We got nutritional health and wellness, and we got a financial success initiative program. And then last but not least, we got every team got to go and participate in community service. So we're doing something totally different. So come check us out. If you want your kid to be involved with something bigger than just basketball, come see us.
Bo Bell.
Team Bo Bell.
It is.
Yeah, man. All right, give us shout-outs real quick, Bo.
Hey, shout-out to my mama.
Already.
And my family, man, already.
That's my man. Shout-out to everybody on Facebook Live. Shout-out to everybody on my Facebook. All the tenants. The crew. Shout-out to Bo Bell. Appreciate you coming through, man. Shout-out to everybody who checked it out. Listen, we went from football to basketball. The transition was awesome. And, boy, I tell you, I had so much fun tonight. And this is going to be a conversation NBA-wise we're going to continue to talk about because the East, we don't know. We just don't know. And to your point, Hancock, seems like Boston's in that same situation where the fabric of that chemistry tears when Kyrie is the best player on the floor. So that's something we're going to talk about. So we're going to get more into it. So check that out, and man, it's been great. So
they got too many Chiefs and no Indians.
There it is. That could be it. All right, Han, what's your shout out?
Hey, shout out to my boy Eric Vincent coming off a birthday this past week. I'm not gonna tell you age, cuz, but we go back to the third grade. Happy birthday to you! Shout out to my cousin Tony Brown. Well, Tony, I can't remember. I'm sorry. Ooh, I messed up, Tony. I know you're married, and I forgot your married name. I apologize, but son went through some things this week. Prayers and shout out to you. I'm sure all the love from the SRT for him to get well, and that's about it.
Get well.
Shout out to the entire crew. Coach, I always appreciate you coming in. It's always a pleasure. And good, the Tenants, can't forget about them, everybody on Facebook. And congrats to the Stevie J's. I wasn't here to congratulate
them. It is.
Fantasy football champion. 2018-2019 season dominated the entire regular season.
He cheated.
Pat Mahomes, you know, if we do the league again, he won't have the first pick next year. But, you know, congrats to Stevie J. You know, he did an amazing job. GM, team of the year.
Appreciate that.
All right, G.
Shout out to all the Tenants. Shout out to the SRT crew. Thank you, Coach Bell, for coming in. Shout out to my mom and dad. And if y'all watch on Facebook Live, share the video, like the page, and tell your friends.
There it is, man. And before we get out of here, I do want to say this. Drake, stay away from the Blue Devils. Do not come to Cameron. Do not come to Durham. Stay away from the city of Durham, North Carolina. That's all I'm going to say. That's an inside joke. If you don't know what it means, Google it and you will find out. That's how we do it. And if you don't like it, you better learn to love it because the hottest show going today. And let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth. This is main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mons. R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
boy, y'all. Kelly, y'all, watch out, boy.
Watch out. We out. Peace.